Hello and welcome to another Dobby's podcast, which focuses on how to get the most from your barbecue. I'm Louise Midgley, garden writer of the Sunday Express, and my guest today is Dan Cooper, head grill master at Weber. Hello, Dan. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Today we'll be chatting about one of the nation's favourite things to do in the garden, barbecuing. The barbecue season got off to an early start this year thanks to a long period of fabulous spring weather, but there's still the whole of summer to enjoy plenty of alfresco dining. Dobby's have a great range of barbecues, many of which are from the leading brand Weber, so it's great to have Dan Cooper here to share some of his top tips for cooking outside. Could you perhaps explain a little bit about your role at Weber?
Yeah, it was, I suppose, something that I fell into almost accidentally. I worked as a chef for many years, and through various connections along that route, I met people that worked with Weber, and I started working as a demonstration chef initially. But that was about 10 years ago. So I've worked for Weber for a long time, and the role's always been interesting. I always like to be out of the kitchen. I like meeting people. I like talking to people. And I love the whole social aspect that barbecuing brings. And Weber's a lovely, lovely company. They're American, based in Chicago. Started out as a family business, and they make lovely quality products and really champion great food and good times. And that, I think, for me is sort of sums up everything I want to do.
Dan, there's a wide range of barbecues on the market. How do customers know which barbecue best suits their need when they're looking to buy a new one?
For them, in terms of maybe their outside space, and a barbecue is kind of like a lifestyle choice, really. So some people are drawn towards maybe the convenience of gas, and some people love the whole theatre of lighting a charcoal barbecue and want to do it that way. So it's really understanding what your preference is in terms of, I suppose, charcoal and gas, and then looking at the space you have. Barbecues come in all different shapes and sizes. So I think looking at your garden is a really good starting point.
And of course, I mean, the speed, obviously, if you're going to have a gas barbecue, you can get your food cooked almost instantly. It's much quicker than waiting for a charcoal barbecue to sort of get hot. But what would be the other differences between the two?
Well, it's the age-old sort of argument, gas versus charcoal, and it's something we talk about all the time. I mean, you mentioned there sort of start times, gas being quicker. You can actually light a charcoal barbecue really quickly if you use an accessory that we sell called a chimney starter. Have you heard of one?
We've got one. Yeah, we've got one.
You put
the newspaper at the bottom, and then you put the charcoal bits on top. I'm not sure. My husband does it all the time, but yes, and then you pour it in. Yeah, it's brilliant. Really, really good.
Exactly. So an aid to really light your charcoal very quickly. You know, that can be one of the main things that puts people off a solid fuel barbecue or a charcoal barbecue is the lighting. That can be the first stumbling block. Of course, with gas, you just turn the knob and press the ignite button and your burners light instantly and you just wait for it to preheat. With charcoal, you have got that process of lighting. But if you use a chimney starter with a newspaper or a few fire lighters, you can actually light the coals almost as quickly as a gas barbecue preheating.
Yes, it really speeds it up. What about enhancing the flavour of the food? There's got to be a difference, hasn't there, between charcoal and gas?
Exactly. So taste is something that is very personal to people. Some people say they love the flavour of charcoal. I mean, charcoal itself is a carbon fuel. It's a smokeless fuel. So it's not giving off a huge amount of flavour itself. Flavour when barbecuing really comes from the marinades and the meat juices falling on the hot surface of the charcoal, or if you're using a gas barbecue, it would be the burners, and then emitting smoke. And it's that smoke that goes into your food that's giving you that taste that you'd identify with barbecue. So, you know, people ask me the question all the time, what's the best, gas or charcoal? And it's very difficult. I've done blind tasting tests, and sometimes, you know, you can't always tell, especially if you're using things like a smoker box in a gas barbecue, which is producing wood smoke in your gas barbecue, much like if you were putting wood chunks or chips in a charcoal barbecue.
Yes, and I suppose for people who barbecue a lot, the gas one is going to be great because they can just go out barbecue at any time of the year as well. You don't, it doesn't just have to be in the summer, does it? You can barbecue. We barbecued in the winter. It's great fun.
Yeah, exactly. And all year barbecuing is something that we would naturally promote. I think a lot of people don't see a barbecue as versatile as it can be. So your barbecue can work just like an oven. And if you know how to set it up properly, you can cook so much more than just the typical sausages and burgers, which is what a lot of people tend to stick to.
Yes, and you say that, and I agree with you, because my son was a chef for a number of years, and we were treated to some amazing barbecue meals when he was living at home, and his vegetables were just sublime. I never realised that vegetables could be so tasty. They had a sort of caramelised flavour to them. You know, you got the char-grilled stripes on them, but then there's also this like sort of almost sweet taste to them. They were delicious.
Yeah, I mean, veggies on the barbecue are so good. You get a far better flavour, I find, than just sort of steaming them. It really can be delicious, yeah.
Great for vegans and vegetarians, which is, you know, important at the moment. What would you recommend as the best foods to cook on a barbecue?
Well, I mean, we've talked about how amazing vegetables can be. I think that people do sometimes have a little bit of a sort of narrow perspective of what you can cook on a barbecue. We do all sorts of things. So, you know, not just meat, but you can bake on a barbecue. You can make breads and cakes and desserts. It really is down to understanding the difference between direct and indirect cooking. And if you cook on your barbecue in an indirect fashion, that's essentially turning it into an oven, then your options of what you can cook are so much more wide. And things that really benefit from the flavor of cooking over charcoal or on a gas barbecue are, you know, things like fish and as we said before, vegetables, but also, you know, we do a lot of breads and pizzas as well. That, yeah, it's kind of endless what you can do.
So when you say turn your barbecue into an oven, what exactly does that involve doing?
So indirect cooking is a way that we set up the barbecue. You're absolutely right. The lid is a real key. So always use your lid on the barbecue, because if you think about, you know, if you cook without a lid on your barbecue, you're bringing too much oxygen, especially with a charcoal barbecue, to the coals. So you get flare-ups, which people are obviously worried about, and that's when fat and oxygen and the heat of your coals create a sort of big flame, and that isn't good for the way your food cooks.
I'm not quite clear on the difference between indirect and direct cooking, so could you just give a little explanation?
Yeah, of course. I'm pleased that you asked that, because if we can get more people understanding direct and indirect cooking, I think more people are going to have success on their barbecue. So direct cooking is what most people do. It's essentially grilling. You're putting your meat directly over the heat source. Indirect cooking is really turning your barbecue into an oven. So if you've got a gas barbecue, you'd simply turn off, let's say, one of the burners, and your meat or your vegetables or whatever you're cooking would go where there is no heat. So the heat would be either side, and with the lid down, the heat circulates around what you're cooking and is roasting it, essentially. If you've got a charcoal barbecue, we usually would set up the grill so there's banks of coal either side, leaving a gap in the center of your grill, and you'd put your meat or your vegetables, again, or whatever you're cooking, in that central gap, and with the lid down, you've turned your charcoal barbecue into an oven. And setting up your barbecue for indirect cooking really kind of gets rid of all the barriers that barbecues can put up. So you can roast a whole chicken without turning it. You can roast a leg of lamb. You can bake bread. You can do everything that you could do in your oven in your barbecue, provided you've set it up in that indirect way.
And you're ready to go. Fantastic. Well, I'd marinate chunks of chicken overnight in yogurt with lots of different spices and lemon zest, olive oil, a bit of olive oil and garlic. And then the chicken goes onto the skewers, and I'm going to try cooking them in that indirect method, because I think they'd probably cook slower and cook through.
Yeah. And I always take it back to the humble sausage. And, you know, people cook sausages on the barbecue. They're actually one of the hardest things to cook, because you've got to, if you're cooking them on a hot grill direct, you've got to constantly turn them like a a sort of human rotisserie. And yet, if you cook them indirect to begin with until they're cooked through and then move them across to some direct heat for color, then you're, you know, cooking sausages without that kind of worry that you're going to burn them and they're going to be pink in the middle. Also, the lid is keeping all the lovely flavor into your barbecue in the cook box, and then that's going into the food. And also, it's helping things cook through more economically, because you've probably heard of people who, you know, cook all their meat in the oven and then finish it on the barbecue. If you cook in this indirect way, then there's no need to do that, because you're actually cooking food right through really effectively, and then you can always finish it off directly over the coals.
Yeah, it seems a waste of time putting it in the oven. It just like spoils the whole process, doesn't it? I mean, the whole idea is so you have the lovely barbecued flavor. So
yeah, exactly. I mean, we do sort of then enter into that discussion about safety and how are things cooked through, and how do you know when they're cooked through safely, especially if you're cooking white meats like pork and chicken. There's a huge range of brilliant digital thermometers out there that will tell you exactly when food is cooked through. We always take chicken and pork to over 74 degrees for it to be cooked through safely. Obviously, with red meats like beef and lamb, you can have it cooked at a lower temperature. But it's going back to that point we were just talking about. It's knowing how you set your barbecue up for indirect cooking.
Excellent. And are there any foods that we shouldn't cook on barbecues?
I don't know if there are, to be honest. I get so enthused when I see people really pushing boundaries and trying different things, making all sorts of wild things on the barbecue. There's some real creativity going on, which is just so lovely to see on all sorts of social media channels.
Yes, it's good to be creative and experiment, isn't it? And you can share those on Instagram and Twitter, and then other people can pick up the tips. It's brilliant.
Absolutely. And barbecuing sort of brings cooking and that social aspect together, even if you're just, you know, being social with your household. You know, it's a better way of expressing what you're doing. You're not hunched over your cooker. You know, you're outside. People can stand around and see what you're doing. It's a really social thing.
Yeah, it is. And Dan, what about the millions of people that live in properties that have, you know, limited space for a barbecue? How can they safely have one, maybe on a balcony or a rooftop terrace? What would you advise they do?
Well, I think, you know, you need to be careful, because some people will have in their tenancy agreements, or if they're living in flats, it will not be possible to have charcoal or gas barbecues. It's worth checking, but sometimes you are able to have electric barbecues, and Weber have this wonderful barbecue called the Pulse, which is an electric powered barbecue that gives wonderful results to food and vegetables and fish alike and meat. And I think when you mention an electric barbecue, it can sometimes be met with a bit of skepticism, but this thing works really, really well. And it's been a brilliant solution for a lot of people that aren't allowed to use gas or charcoal barbecues in a sort of urban environment.
It does the job, so that's important. Now, getting down to the accessories that we use for barbecues, what would you say are the main essential ones that people need?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, we've talked about a few already. So we mentioned the chimney starter. If you've got a charcoal barbecue and you haven't got a chimney starter, then that is something that will just make your life so much more easy when it comes to lighting your coals. If you are using a gas grill, I love using something called a smoker box, which we did touch on. You add your soaked wood chips, and Weber do a whole variety of different flavors of wood chips, or different species, which give different flavors to the food. And you can put that in a gas barbecue, and you can really get wonderful wood smoke flavor onto your food using that little device. So that's called a smoker box, and that's something I'd really recommend anyone who's got a gas barbecue to have a play with. I think my sort of top tips for accessories and the things that, you know, you really do need would be a good pair of gloves. I mean, that's a given, something that's really safe, because barbecues are hot, and just using a tea towel, I've seen it all. And
yes, it's not a good idea, is it?
Well, you know, the fuel on these barbecues are getting so hot, and the metal gets hot, and everything's hot. So if you have a good pair of gloves that can enable you to work safely and accurately, it can really help things. Also, a tool set is really important. So I'm talking a a spatula and a good pair of tongs. I see people, you know, trying to turn sausages with a little kitchen fork and, you know, their hands getting too close to the coals. And it's all, you know, it's just common sense, a lot of it. But a good pair of gloves and a good tool set will really help you along the way. We also mentioned checking whether your food is cooked through safely. So I really think a form of thermometer would be really important. Weber do something called an iGrill, which is a smart thermometer, and it links with your phone. So you can be checking food without having to be physically looking into the barbecue. So that's pretty cool. And also there's a whole range of different little thermometers that you can check meat with. So I think those are sort of my go-to accessories.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you. But I mean, there's no doubt cooking outside is a great experience when friends and family get together. But apart from barbecues, what other new cooking trends are popular at the moment?
Smoking your food's really popular, and also being able to do low and slow cooking. So that is something that has just been growing in popularity year on year, really. When you hear a lot of restaurants who are advertising on their menus pulled pork and briskets and ribs, and this is kind of food that's become really in vogue, and it's meat that's slow cooked and bringing lovely wood smoke into the equation, and it's something that people can do on a barbecue really quite easily. It takes a little bit of practice, and you need to make sure you're keeping an eye on the coals because you're keeping that barbecue at a much lower temperature than you usually would, but it's a lovely way to cook. I do things like a shoulder of lamb. You might cook that slowly in the oven, but have a go doing it on the barbecue, and you get the addition of the wood smoke if you're using a bit of that. And also things like pork ribs and pork shoulders, you can do them really slowly and get really lovely results.
And the chips are available in bags, aren't they? It's like sort of fruit wood sometimes is quite nice. Is it something that's easy to get from garden centres or online?
Yeah, you'll be able to get the wood chips. Dobby's will sell wood chips. And Weber do a variety of different flavors. So that the fruit woods, you've got, for example, apple is a lovely fruit wood to use. Now, it doesn't taste of apple, but it has got a sweet, subtle flavor. Whereas we also stock chips like hickory and mesquite, which are hardwoods, which have a much more pungent, tangy flavor to them, which you need to use a bit more sparingly.
Yes, we've used those, and they are absolutely delicious. It really does enhance the flavor massively. I love them.
And really so easy to do. I mean, you know, if you have a charcoal barbecue, you just soak the wood chips for about 30 minutes and then drain off the water, and then safely using tongs or gloves, put them directly onto the charcoal, and you'll start to see smoke being produced almost instantly. And that is going to be giving, you know, a huge amount of flavor into whatever you're cooking.
Dan, do you have any tips on how to cook pizzas in a barbecue? I believe you can use a ceramic stone to do that.
Yeah. Pizza stones have been sort of part of a Weber barbecue for years and years. And as people are really starting to want to make pizzas at home, I've seen it really kind of ramp up in terms of popularity, with people making their own dough and wanting to get, you know, the sauce beautiful and the crust all puffed up with crispy edges. Using a pizza stone works fantastically. The reason is you can get your barbecue hotter than a domestic oven. And also with the ability to be able to add some wood smoke in there, you're getting the flavor of a wood-fired pizza. And it will cook in a fraction of the time than, let's say, a homemade pizza would in your oven.
Mm. And it, I mean, it's, you can customize your own pizza, and who doesn't like pizza? It's fantastic for the family, isn't it? And encourage children to make their own dough and add their own toppings.
Yeah, it is, definitely. And I think, you know, there is sometimes some people aren't that keen on making their own dough because it can be perceived as taking a long time. But actually, I don't know if you've noticed, but recently supermarkets have started selling frozen fresh dough, which works really, really well. And actually, I've started to see fresh dough in, not even frozen, in the sort of section where you'd buy pastry and things like that. And that's really easy to use.
Yes, excellent. Although I have to say, it is really easy to make from, you know, from, you might think it is difficult, but it's not. It's really quick and easy to make. Have you got any top tips for our listeners for the whole barbecuing season ahead? What would be your advice to give them?
Well, we often go on about the Weber way of cooking. So it's just three really simple instructions that we'd love people to bear in mind when they're barbecuing. And this can apply to whatever barbecue you have. But first off, it's what we've mentioned before. It's, you know, cooking with the lid down. That's going to really help what you're cooking. And the reason why we suggest that is because it helps to prevent flare-ups, as we've discussed. You get better flavor on your food, and it will help your food really cook through. The other point would be to understand direct and indirect cooking. So being able to set your barbecue up for roasting like an oven. So that's where you're cooking your meat, but it's not directly over the heat source. You've moved the heat source, whether it's coals, you're banking the coals either side, or if it's gas, you turn off one of the burners. So really understanding direct and indirect cooking. And then a thermometer. You'd be so surprised at how many people just cut into the meat or guess, but you can get a lovely little thermometer that's going to tell you exactly what temperature your food is, and so you can get it just right. And overcooking is a problem as well. People are worried about undercooking, but if you overcook meat, it's expensive, and we want people to get it right. So using a thermometer is key.
Yes, it is. And I think people just got to give it a go, haven't they? Got to experiment. Practice makes perfect.
Exactly.
What would be your favorite dishes to cook if you were to have a great barbecue evening?
Well, you know, believe it or not, my wife's actually is vegetarian. So we do cook a lot of, I cook a lot of meat at work, but we have a lot of vegetable dishes on the barbecue when we're not at work. And I've been cooking some beautiful miso charred aubergine. So it's really simple to do. You chop an aubergine in half and score it. And then I rub a white miso paste with some sesame oil and a little bit of soy sauce, and then grill that on the barbecue and until it goes all soft and gooey, and finish it off with some spring onions and chili, bit of chopped coriander afterwards. And it is absolutely to die for.
That sounds absolutely. I have to definitely give that a go because I love aubergines and they do really cook well on a barbecue. What about any family friendly dishes, Dan, that children might love?
Yeah, I think we've touched on making pizzas. That's always a popular one. When it comes to cooking for a family on a barbecue, I always think that it's a shame that people spend a lot of time at the barbecue trying not to, you know, burn things or carbonize things, and less time with their friends or family. So I would challenge any family to have a go roasting on the barbecue. It might sound simple, but try a whole chicken, for example. And it's not something that many people do, but it's so rewarding and much easier because you can put a wonderful marinade on your chicken. You could do a saute style marinade on the chicken, or you could rub some lovely Mexican spices into the chicken and then cook it indirect with the lid on and just leave it for about an hour and 15 minutes or until it's come up to a safe temperature, and then take it off and let it rest and then enjoy it as a family, rather than having to cook lots of little items and risking, you know, burning them or being distracted then from your kind of family get together.
I think the satay one sounds lovely because that's the peanut butter, isn't it? With, you can make that so easily yourself with some olive oil and lemon and peanut butter all mixed together.
Exactly. That's it. I do mine in those Nutribullet blenders. I blend all the spices together and then just sort of score the chicken and then rub it on. And it comes off really well.
Oh, that's a clever way of doing it. And then leave it to rest. You said at the end, that's important, isn't it? How long do you normally leave a whole chicken to rest? 10 minutes or so?
Yeah, about 10 minutes, just for it to relax. And so all the juices soak back into the meat rather than all over the chopping board.
Dan, thank you so much for sharing all your barbecuing expertise with us. And thank you to everybody for listening. That's all we have time for today, but do visit dobbies.com for more help and advice, and stay tuned for the next Dobbies podcast, which is coming soon.